What up, folks? What it do? Welcome to another episode of the Best Advice Ever podcast with your boy, Mike Goodwin, the bow-tied comedian, repping for the United States Army there. This is old throwback PT shirt. PT shirts even aren't, they're not like this anymore. This is the old Terry Cotton, Terry Cotton PT. This is before the stuff that I wear. I wear a lot of stuff now that's like, that you can't sweat in. It's like, I don't remember the name of it, but you know what I'm talking about. Back in our day, you had cotton shirts. Now we got these fit, stay dry, fit. I was circling around. I was getting to it. I got to it. Dry fit. I said stay dry, dry, super stay fit, dry fit, where it's kind of like it whisk the sweat away. This didn't whisk any sweat away. Sweat was with you until the end of time. Well, as I start every episode, each podcast with the On the Road Again segment, and I was on the road. I was in a place that was unfamiliar to me. Like, I've never been there before. I've been maybe close to that area, but not actually in that area. I was in South Boston, Virginia. Yes, I've been to Danville, but I've never been to South Boston. So Danville is probably 20 minutes from South Boston. It's kind of the city before the city of South Boston, at the spot called the Prizery. Beautiful, beautiful theater. Good turnout. Had a great time. However, we're in an interesting part of my career. To give you a little bit of insight, the way that things typically work for me as it relates to how I travel often, for the majority of the time, if you bring me in to do an event, that only covers my fee, but it also covers travel, which typically would be airfare or mileage, and a hotel room. Now, sometimes people will do what is called all-inclusive. So they'll pay this particular fee that may be a little bit more than what they would pay me, but the flight, travel, and the lodging is all included. Then there's sometimes where they will do an all-inclusive, but they'll cover the lodging, or they'll do the fee and the lodging, but I'll take care of travel. Like, there's a variety of ways you can go with it. But for the most part, they pay a fee. I take care. They reimburse the travel, and they'll get the room. For the most part, sometimes people will tell me rooms that are in the area, or if there's times where, like when I was like this weekend, I'll have to get a room in Virginia Beach on Saturday, but then I may end up getting a room in Richmond. Maybe I'll just go to I'm flying into Virginia Beach. I may not get a room there. I may just get a room in Richmond, leave after the show to go to Richmond, like go right to the club, then go and get a room, spend the night in Richmond for the Sunday. So I have two nights in Richmond as opposed to having a night in Virginia Beach, then a night in Richmond. And as I'm saying that, I'm realizing I don't have a room this weekend. As I'm literally talking this through, I don't think I have a room. So we got to figure out the room scenario. But in most cases, especially if somebody's separate from a club, now clubs do, that's a whole nother conversation. Sometimes clubs, and I don't think they have this as frequently, I don't hear about this as much as I used to, But sometimes club will have, I forgot the term, but the club will have lodging for the comedian, in which, like, I think about, there's a club in Myrtle Beach that the owners have like a condo. And so the comedians stay in the condo, the comedy condo. That's what it typically is called. So the comedians will stay in the condo. Most times they want you to get at your own room. Like they normally have a deal with the local hotel. But if there's a comedy condo, and I've been in some pretty, you know, the one in Myrtle Beach was a great one, because I think that the owners own, that's their personal condo that they use in the summer, or so they have a vested interest in it looking a particular way. But there's some other comedy condos that, aha. But this weekend, the folks were getting the hotel for me, and I'm pretty low key. I love a Spring Hill Suites. I'm a big fan of a Hilton Garden Inn. Now, Hilton Garden is fine. I'm not like, oh, but Spring Hill Suites is cool. I was even telling my cousin recently about the Holiday Inn Express. They've kind of up the game a little bit. There's been some Holiday Inn Expresses I've been to, and it's been like, oh, that's good. Well, these folks had me going to a Choice brand of hotel, and I'm not the Choice hotel type of guy. That's just not, it's not what we're trying to do. And especially, this was a Quality Inn. When you put the word quality in front of something, I don't think it's good quality. Quality, it should be silent. You should not have to read it out loud. So as you would anticipate, this Quality Inn type hotel, which is ones I don't do, from the parking lot to your room, it's like a seamless transition. I don't want that. I want to be able to be in encapsulated. I want to be able to, on various levels, I want to come into the hotel, then I want to have a room in a hall. You know, you just can't get from the hotel parking lot to my room. I just don't think that's a good way to do things, especially as a person that travels and is doing stand up. And maybe, you know, oftentimes comedians carry merch and they'll have some cash on them. So that's a good opportunity for a robbery, right? That happens typically. But That's why you don't necessarily fool around with the hotel that has the door right to the parking lot. So that was the case. And I had an opener with me. Shout out to Vernard Hines, the laugh therapist. Excellent job. Did a wonderful job. I'm glad to have had him on the show. But he got there a little bit before me, and there was some kind of back and forth about the location of the rooms. I thought we were at the Clarion initially. And we found out we were at the Quality Inn. And I got to the Quality Inn. Like I said, it was a hotel where the room, once you get from your parking lot spot to the room, I don't do those. And here's the other thing. Got into the room. You know, it's a little chilly, right? I turn the heat on. The fire alarm goes off. I said, man, get me all the way the heck up out of here, man. Oh yeah, I did stay in the room for about 40 minutes to get changed, because I did not come dressed. And the more I thought about it, I could have dressed at the actual theater. Shout out to the Quality Inn. We should call that the Quality Out, not the Quality Inn. Shout out to South Boston, Virginia. Great time. Wonderful, wonderful event. On the road again, as I was just explaining, I need to get some hotel rooms. But I definitely will not be getting a hotel room that is of the Choice hotel variety. And it's just it was so many things. Like, even if I would have stayed, like, in a clutch, maybe like, oh man, this is, this is not a bad room. You know, you some rooms you walk in and like the smell from the previous 13 people is still in the room. Like, yeah, I don't want to do that. Maybe if the smell from the previous person, you got to pull that off. The last 13, 25 people. Yeah, man, I'm going to get all up out of here, bro. I found some alternative lodging options. About an hour and a half away from where we, the performance was at. Well, for the moment you've been waiting for, the best advice ever. It's Best Advice Ever podcast, and this is the segment where we do the best advice ever. And today's best advice is something that's near to my heart. It's something that I really feel kind of, I feel very passionate about. I feel passionate about many things, not all things, but the things I do feel passionate about, I'm very passionate about. This is one of them. And simply, the advice is play to win. Do not play to not lose. I can't stand to watch a team, especially if a team I support and if I follow and they get a big lead and then they start trying to nurse and protect the lead as opposed to playing to win, like putting your foot on the gas, putting the nail in the coffin, shutting the door completely to any operation that will give the other team opportunity to win. That's like hitting free throws. That's a big part of playing to win. You got to hit free throws. Hit free throws. Make your layups. Make your layups. Play to win. Now, because I worked at school. I worked at a school as a independent school as a college counselor. And I talked to families and students time and time again about majors and the next step going to college. And there would often be advice that I would kind of cringe when I would hear it. You know, let's say I'm talking to a student and the student loves music and wants to major in music and is looking to go to school to get a degree in music and wants to possibly pursue a career in the music industry, wants to start a band. And those types of conversations, inevitably, a parent will say, but you need a backup plan. What if this music thing doesn't work out? You need a backup plan. Don't put all your eggs in one basket. I hate that. I hate that advice. I especially hate the egg advice because typically we give the egg advice to people that don't have any eggs. Don't put all your eggs in one. I got one egg. I ain't got no all eggs. There's no all. I don't even have a job. I'm not even in college yet. And you're talking to me about not putting all my eggs in one basket. I don't have any eggs. Can I put one egg in one basket? Let's do that. Let me put that egg in this basket. Let's secure this egg. So I find that conversation to be very limiting. And I get it. Risks, and you want your children to be safe, and you want them to make great choices, and you want them to have options. Absolutely. I 100% agree with that. Even if you look at my work background and my choice to become a full-time entrepreneur, I didn't necessarily put all my eggs in one basket. But once the basket was full of one particular type of egg, now I was able to get some other baskets. Like, we got baskets, no eggs. I don't have a problem with people putting eggs in other baskets when you have eggs. But a lot of times, you're just telling people to create more baskets. And they don't have eggs. Now, there is a time to create a basket for an egg that's coming. Like, find out you're pregnant. You got to prepare the room for the child, the nursery. But the egg's in the temporary basket. So you got 9 months. I don't think we talk enough about preparing the basket for the egg. I've never said that before. I think we need to talk more about that. And I'm in that scenario right now. I've just hired my first, I've been hired as a coach, a comedy coach. Had a comedian hire me to be comedy coach to take them to another level. They're on this level that they're on. They want to go to another level, a level that I've attained. And even some of you that are listening, if you're thinking, I think many of you can coach. And you may say, hey, I don't have any expertise. You do. You can create a coaching program for yourself 5 years ago. Who were you 5 years ago? And what did you do in that time frame? And because they're young, there's people behind us on our journey to success that would love to be where you are currently that you could coach. But that's another day. That's another topic for another day. So it behooved me to start creating a coaching basket, which I have been. It's not like I haven't been. I've been taking training. I have certifications. I have a coach. I've been coached. So it's not like, oh, I don't know what to do. I know what to do. I think about my pastor. My pastor wanted to start a church and knew he was going to start a church and didn't have a church, but he was already creating vision for the church and how he would train his volunteers and what would the usher's SOP or standard operating procedures look like. So of course, start laying, but you got to have some vision. You got to have some vision before you have eggs, right? I think we need to talk more folks about vision. What vision do you have for your life? So have the vision for success. Play to win. Play to win, man. Don't forget a backup plan, man. Backup plans are for losers. No, they're not. They're not for losers. You need a backup plan. But if you plan appropriately in the beginning, you don't need to back up. Let's plan to move forward. And again, I'm a case study. When I made the decision to go full-time entrepreneur, there's no backup plan. I put the A plan to be so strong, I didn't need a backup plan. I'd made very deliberate choices. We paid debt down. I positioned myself in terms of financially to where I knew the amount I needed to cover for the month. If I didn't have the comedy shows, didn't jump off. I knew the number. I need this amount of money to take care of my household for the month. When you see that number, you're like, oh man, I can do that in two shows. I know I can get three shows a month to get that. So those are the type of things that you need to think about as it relates to when people say, put all your eggs, don't put all your eggs in one basket. I kind of push back on that. I do have a caveat because I'm a person of faith, man. I have a relationship with God. So there's an element of, man, what is God telling you? Now, I'm not talking about, you talk to people and they're like, God came, Jesus came and sat on my bed. I'm not talking about that. I'm talking about a word that you've received. I know when I left to do stand-up comedy, I received what I call or deem to be the word in the December of the year, actually the next year. And so I was in a church service and our pastor said, and it just said something and it just exploded. I could not unhear it. It arrested me. And I had already been wrestling and kind of struggling with, I think it's time for me to make that transition. But that word, along with me seeking guidance and having conversations with multiple people about my scenario, my wife and I were having a conversation, we 3 years before I even left, I was making half of my salary doing stand-up. So that data was enough to say, okay, we've done this 3 years. This is with you working. Can you imagine with me not having to go to work, what could I what could I do with that? So I didn't go into stand-up comedy full-time with a backup plan. I grew to the place where the A plan worked. So I maybe need to do something about how to make your side hustle, right? Like you don't automatic. And I wanted to leave my job years before I left my job, right? I wanted to leave as soon as my first night. I was like, oh, I need to be a comedian. No, that's not a wise decision. So don't focus more on your backup plan than you focus on your plan. Play to win. Do not play to not lose. One of the old school saying that people used to say when I was a youngin', barbecue a mildew. Do something. Make it happen. Barbecue a mildew. What you gonna do? You gonna sit on the pot or you gonna use it? What are we doing? So if you're gonna make decisions and you're gonna make moves, make bold decisions, make decisive decisions, but evaluate. Let's get a community of counselors. Let's get some in counsel. There's safety, right? Mentors, advisors, peers. But ultimately, you have to play to win. At the end, you can get all the advice, you can get all the knowledge, you can get all the information. But when you get on the court, when you get into the arena, when you get into the boardroom, you have to execute. You have to play to win. So that's the best advice of the day. Best advice ever for this podcast episode. I do feel good as we're making it through this podcast because I changed up a system so I won't spend 20 minutes talking about on the road. And I think it's serving me well. So here's another episode, a part of the podcast I love, but I typically can't get to because I eat up all my time. And it's the Mind of Mike. It's the Mind of Mike. And I must say this to myself. I'm a good man. Like I was having a conversation. One of the analogies I use is Charlie Brown and Lucy moving the football. I find that I use that analogy in a lot of, I think that's very applicable in a lot of things. Sometimes I was just talking to a friend of mine from who I grew up with and then ultimately went to college with, but he's not social. He's not a social guy. Like, and people have birthday parties, they'll have events and they'll invite this guy and he'll say he's coming. He's not coming. He not coming when you ask. And it's the wildest thing, because if he came, it's a good time. He's a good guy to be around. He's very charismatic, very fun loving. But he not coming. It's the wild, man, this guy is one of the most interesting fellas I know, man. This guy has no interest in doing other, like he does the things he want to do. But I'm like, hey man, let's grab some dinner. Watch the game. Now he's going to watch the game. It's not like he's not watching the game. He's just not coming to grab dinner to watch. Now, sometimes he will, but especially if it's that one-on-one, he's probably solid. You can get him. But if it's like a function, a gathering, a soiree, my man's not coming. You got to get a dress. You got to put on some cologne. Nah, I ain't doing all that. I'm not coming. He say he coming. He not coming. And you know he not coming. That's the wild part about it. So I talk about how if he tells you he's coming, he's like Lucy and Charlie Brown. He's always snatching that football, man. You think you about to kick this thing over the moon and you on your back looking up at the sky. But that boy done snatched that football away from you again. So in my mind, I'm a good man. And the reason I say this, I briefly mentioned I relented recently and put together a program to be someone's coach, to be someone's comedy coach. I kind of was of the mindset. I've worked with speakers. I have no problem working with speakers. And I probably have no problem working with aspiring comedians that desire to get into comedy or to do a comedy set. But the folks that are comedians that are out here in this world doing it, I don't want no parts of that, I thought. But there's some people I can help. There's some people that I can help take to the next level. And I put together a program, and shout out to my guy. We're going to do 3 months coaching. And I'm excited about the results that we will garner together. I also am working with a 10-year-old comedian. There's one in my town or the city that has a son, and they have a project to go to this pretty interesting school. And this guy wants to be a comedian. This guy is all about the comedy. So I met with him and his mom a couple of weeks ago, and we talked about his outline and his project. And he was a lot. He was a lot. He was, and he's 10. So a 10-year-old man, like he borderline started roasting me about something. I was like, hey, my guy, simmer down. He did say something to his funny. He told his mama she was Gen BC. I said, what? Like, she not Gen X, she Gen BC. God almighty, my man, you man here throwing grenades at people. But yeah, we're doing that. And I'm also helping a friend that's putting together a one-woman show. She's not a comedian, but she's a speaker coach. So I'm even assisting with that. So I'm a good man. Shout out to Mike Goodwin for being a good man. I've also realized that I see value in things that I probably wouldn't. If I don't get down with it, I'd be like, man, what are people looking? Why are people all interested in that? Well, I just noticed that about something. And the question I asked you, is Seth Rollins going to be the champion of WWE? Now, I asked you that because about a couple of weeks ago, I'm on Instagram and I see The Rock. Now, I'm a fan of all things Rock. I'm not a wrestling guy. Fan of all things Rock. Well, Rock does like a 20-minute talk because Rock's a wrestling guy. That's where Rock got his start, really. So he started talking about Seth Rollins, which I have no clue who he was. Went to Seth Rollins. I'm like, I don't know who this guy is. And Rock's not talking favorably about the guy. I go to his Instagram page, man, this man got 4.6 million followers. I'm like, he's clearly doing something. He started talking about Cody Crybabies and Roman Reigns. For the first time, and I've been very intrigued by WWE, just in general. I remember when the New World Order hit. I was in the Army. And I remember these grown men would have these t-shirts and they were talking about NWO. And I was just like, what is that? But they fill arenas, the merchandising. And then now what Rock was kind of alluding to and talking about is a plan that WWE has with Netflix. So I'm like, man, let me start paying attention, because this is a truth of life. Success leaves clues. So I may not never, ever like really be all in on the wrestling. Because I feel like the Santa Claus situation with wrestling with me. Like, I was like, oh, my God, it's the realest thing. And then I found out I was faking. I was like a scorned lover, right? I probably just need to let that go. But there's so much success, keys and tools that you can see just by virtue of looking at how these cats operate. Like, they're successful. So it would behoove me to pay attention to some things. And one of the things I did notice about WWE that I think I can try to figure out, you got to make people feel a way about something. You know, that's the WWE. They have villains, they have heroes. Sometimes the heroes become villains. So you gotta hit a nerve. You gotta, you know, I was talking to my cousin, and he was talking about how laid back of a person he is, and he doesn't take things personally. But he was like, maybe I should be taking some things personally, right? Because when you take things personally, it fires you up. So I need to figure out what fires people up. That's a great lesson. The marketing, just in general, like just the Rock being connected brought a bigger name. Now you got Netflix, like that, like, As many followers as that Seth Rollins guy got, again, Netflix is not coming to the table to talk to Seth Rollins, but he coming to talk to The Rock. So success leaves clues. So I shout out to the WWE fans. No, my producer's he's a fan, so I wanted to get that plug. Also saw something real crazy. Something that they had calming for dogs. They're giving dogs, and I don't know what it's called. I'm calling them gummies. I saw this person on I know this woman. She had this. It's called calming, and they give it to. And I'm like, they're giving dogs gummies to knock them out. Cause that dog was out of there, man. That dog looked high. Like, I don't know what's in this product, but the dog looked loaded, hammered, toast, like how I would say somebody was white boy wasted. You know, the dog was out of here, buddy. Calming. I'm like, are they giving gummies? Are they giving the dogs the gummies to put them? That's like the kids, you're giving them Robitussin. You're making them go to sleep. Why y'all making these dogs go to sleep? What you're not going to do is give your dogs gummies so they can go to sleep. Hey, I did have a question, another what you're not going to do. What you're not going to do, and I tell myself this all the time, is travel in uncomfortable shoes. What shoes do you wear when you travel? I'll talk about maybe get more in depth because I like talking about travel. I like learn some things. What are the shoes? Because I saw a few Adidas. That's what I'm noticing. Folks had Adidas, so I went and looked. And these are like $190 Adidas, which I'm all for it, but if I'm going to get more, I'm going to get more out of you than just shoes that I wear to the airport. You know, we're going to go to the gym. We're going to wear them shoes. So $190 was a little more than I was like, nah, we gonna fool around with that. But yeah, man, shout out to y'all. Thank y'all. What you're not going to do is not come to some of my, I got some South Carolina dates. Well, I got one South Carolina state. I'm coming to the upstate. I'm coming to Greenville on my birthday, July 18th, the Comedy Zone. I'm actually doing the Comedy Zone in Charlotte, which is sentimental to me. Charlotte this summer, that, as a matter of fact, the 18th, 19th, 20th, 21st. 21st is when I'll be in Charlotte. But I'll be in Greenville. I'll be in Hickory, North Carolina. I'll be in Charlotte. And I'll be in Greensboro that weekend, that Thursday to Sunday. So if you're in the upstate, if you're in Greensboro, if you're in Charlotte, if you're in Hickory, I'm going to be in those locations. People often ask me when I'm going to be close again. If you didn't see me when I was in Columbia, South Carolina in November, here's an opportunity to come out to Greenville, to Charlotte, and check out your boy, man. Thank y'all so much for tuning in to the Best Advice Ever podcast. I'll be back again next week. Same bat channel, same bat place. Could have been anywhere in the world, but you're here with me, and I appreciate it. Hey, I'll see y'all next time. If you have any information you want to shoot to me, just send it to info@comedianmikegoodwin.com. Subscribe, like, share. Y'all been wonderful. I'll talk to you soon. Peace.